So, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your goodness to us. We want to thank you for your word, that your word is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that as I share, that your anointing will come upon me and that people will be encouraged. Father, that you would help me in my weakness. Let us see your strength. Amen. If you have a Bible, would you like to turn with me to Joshua chapter 21? For the last few weeks, we've been looking at Colossians 2, verse 1, and it says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face." Excuse me. And that word struggle has got the connotation of two athletes in an arena struggling together for preeminence, for victory. And we just started to look at struggles that we might have as Christians. You know, here is Paul the apostle writing about his struggle and how great it was. And last week we talked about the struggle to hold on to dreams. And Joshua 21, verse 45 says this: "Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Not one word of all that God had promised failed to come to pass. All came to pass." Hallelujah. And we looked at that verse last week, and that's the nature and character of God, is that if we take hold of his word and we put our trust in his word and we believe him, nothing that he said to us will fail to come to pass. And I read this poem, "Ah, great it is to believe the dream as we stand in youth by the starry streams. But a greater thing is to fight life through and say at the end the dream came true." You know, we all dream and we all have dreams, but it's a great thing to fight through so that at the end we could say our dream came true. And you know, the fight we're called to fight is the fight of faith. It's faith working through love that changes things. And the dreams that God gives us are dreams to be fulfilled, not to be disappointed with. And so last week I spent a few days praying and fasting because I know that there are quite a number of people that are in great challenges and difficulties, and including my family. You know, we have got a few things going on and so forth. And such is the nature of life that things happen and things are difficult and things are challenging. And sometimes in those things, we wonder where God is. And so with that in mind, I spent a few days praying and fasting last week, and faced with all these challenging things happening in the church. I mean, I've been up to hospital, I think, more in the last few weeks than I have in the last year. You know, it's just... And God spoke to me. And this is what God spoke to me. He said, "Trust me in the darkness. Trust me in the darkness." See, the darkness is the place that Abraham came to when in hope against hope. There ain't no way this lady's going to give me a baby. But in hope against hope, Abraham believed. Trust me when you don't understand. Trust me when you suffer loss. Trust me in the pain. Trust me when brothers sell you into slavery. Oh, we can all give stories about how brothers and sisters have hurt us in church, or brothers and sisters have hurt us in our family. But God says, trust me even in the disappointment. Trust me in the prison. Trust me in the sickness. Trust me when you receive your redundancy notice. Do you know 1,700 men were told last week that they're going to be losing their job? trust me when it's not fair. Life isn't fair sometimes. Have you noticed that? Trust me when you don't understand. Trust me in the darkness. You know, and some of you don't understand, and some of you are in darkness and you don't understand. And the word of the Lord to you is this, is trust me in the darkness. The darkness is a place all Christians travel through, so you're not alone. The devil tries to steal away your hope and your joy and your confession. He wants us to think that you're the only ones when you're in the darkness, but God has not left you. When Elijah suffered his collapse, he said, God, I alone am left. And sometimes when you're in the darkness, it feels like you're all by yourself. Trust me in the darkness. The Bible is filled with people who found themselves in situations where things didn't appear to be working, where they were in darkness. Jacob was all alone at Peniel before he saw the face of God. David was on the run from Saul, though he'd done no wrong. Joseph was in a prison cell, wondering what had happened to his dream. Gideon was hiding in the wine press because of the Midianites. Daniel was facing a lion's den. Joshua was mulling over the defeat at Ai after his victory at Jericho. Jonah was lost in the belly of a whale. Moses was 40 years a fugitive, and Peter was in a prison cell. Paul and Silas found themselves in prison cells. The nation of Israel was taken into captivity, and the disciples of Jesus saw him die on a cross. See, we all go through stuff that is dark. And the word of the Lord to you today is you need to trust me in the darkness. Turn with me to Judges chapter 6. It's just a few pages over towards the next book on. Gideon is hiding in a wine press and an angel appears to him. And the angel says, O mighty man of valor. And this is how Gideon replied to him in verse 13. Gideon said to the angel, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our father recounted to us, saying, did the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hands of Midian. This is the cry of Gideon. He's a few days from deliverance. In the darkness, he says, well, if God is with me, why has all this stuff happened? Have you ever said that? If God's with me, why has this happened to me? Why has this happened to our church? Why has this happened to our community? If God is with us. And where are all the promises that the pastor keeps on going about? Where are all those promises that he keeps on saying? And he tells his stories and then he tells us, but where are they for me? If God is with us, where is he? And sometimes when we're in the darkness, that's what it feels like. It's like, that's the reality. It's like, where are you, God? I can't hear you. I can't feel you. I can't see you. I don't know where you are. Where are you, God? And God says this to us. He says, trust me in the darkness. Trust me in the darkness. If you have sung the song of Gideon, you're just like Gideon. Yet God took Gideon, raised him up in front of the people, and he turned a nation. God can take us out of the darkness and turn a nation. But we must trust God in the darkness. And the darkness is the hardest place to hold on to your dream. Consider God's servant Job. The devil kills his kids. The devil destroys his wealth. And then the devil destroys his health. And he's sitting by himself, picking his sores, wishing he was dead. And his wife comes to him. Wives, you need to be careful. And the wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. Imagine my wife saying that to me. Curse God and die. It's not very nice, is it? And Job, it says, but Job would not curse God. See, he probably felt like cursing God. He didn't understand, and there's like chapters upon chapters of him not understanding what's happening to me. But he would not curse God, because in the darkness, Job still trusted God. When we suffer loss, defeat, disappointment, when the devil attacks us, seeks to destroy our trust in God, that is when we have to keep our mouth closed. Job's wife is seeking for Job to curse him. And there's people in your family that will come to you, and in essence what they say, well, a fat lot of good it took, you know, trusting God did for you. A fat lot of good he did for you. Look, this has happened, that's happened, this happened. You know, you're no better than anybody else. Fat lot of good. But God says, trust me in the darkness. Trust me in the darkness. And right when you need to stand together in the darkness, you need to encourage one another in the darkness. Not undermine your faith, strengthen your faith. When you don't feel like it, put on the sermons, put on the Word of God. Get the Word in your face. But God is calling us to trust Him in the darkness. Job 19, this was his confession. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. All Job could say was this. Do you know, I don't understand what's happening, but my Redeemer lives. And at the last day I will stand before him. And it's like, I don't know what's happening in your life, and I don't know what's happening in my life, but I do know this. My Redeemer liveth. I do know this. At the last, when we stand before him, I will stand before God righteous because of the blood of Jesus. I don't know anything that's happening between A and the end, but I know this. God has not forsaken me. God has not left me. God will never, never not keep his word to me, because he is a way maker. But when you're in a corner scratching yourself because of the pain of the sores, you've lost everything, you're just in darkness, sometimes all you can say is, well, when I die, I'm going to see Jesus. And there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more pain. The darkness is the hardest place to dream. But we need to continue to dream in the darkness. See, dreams are the articulation of your hope. Let me say that again. Dreams are the articulation of your hope. If you're dreaming for children, it's the articulation of what's in your heart. If you're dreaming to be out of debt, if you're dreaming to be healed, if you're dreaming for God to move, if you're dreaming for your business to prosper, if you're dreaming for your children to grow into godly children and marry godly partners, you're just articulating what's in your heart, what God's put in your heart. And when you're in the darkness, you tend to not want to say what God's promised. Your flesh rebels against it. Your flesh is like the wife of Job. Curse God and die. But your spirit man is like Job. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that he's alive. I know he rose from the dead. I know he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I know he keeps his promises. So I'm going to keep on hoping. I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on speaking in the midst of my darkness. Doesn't matter how dark it gets. I know that my Redeemer liveth. My Redeemer liveth. And even if I can't see him, he's working on my behalf. He's working on your behalf. He is alive. He loves you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And he says to you this morning, in the darkness, trust him. We need to hope for something. It says the Word of God, we get hope from the Word of God. We hope the promises. Surround yourself with the promises of God, even in the darkness. The thing with hope is, the hope is the foundation of your faith. If you turn to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. See, faith brings my hope to a place of substance. But it starts with hope. You read something in the Bible, you know, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, knowing that he healeth all my diseases. Psalm 103, verse 2, I think that is. He redeems my life from the pit. He crowns me with loving kindness. And if you feel like you're in a pit, you need to put your hope in what God says. He redeems. My Redeemer liveth, and he redeems me from the pit. And I appreciate what I'm saying might not... Not everybody's in a pit. Not everybody's in darkness. You know, I appreciate that. But I know there are some who are. Abraham, in hope against hope, believed. What does that mean? It's he's still hoping when there's no other reason to hope other than he reckoned that he who promised was faithful to do what he said. And sometimes all you have is the promise of God. He who promised is faithful. The doctor's report, the bank balance, the family situation, the economy, all the stuff. All you have is the promises, because there's no hope in anything else. In hope against hope, Abraham believed. We've got a dream in the darkness. Now, last week I told a couple of stories about myself, and I got home for dinner. And my kids said, and my family said, they just said, Dad, you've told that story a million times. And I do. I've only lived one life. You know, I can't make this stuff up. You know, I can't tell you about the time I was in the SAS because I was never in the SAS. You know, and then there'd be little Porkies going around. Oh, he told another Porky there, Alex. But I want to tell you a story about somebody else. Is that okay? So then my kids won't give me a hard time over dinner. Dad, you told that story again. So there was a young lady and... She dreamed. She had aspirations for a better life. She was a country girl, and she really thought that she could leave the country, break into the city, and just aspire for so much. And she met an older man, a few years older than her, and she got pregnant. And then he left her. And like in the pregnancy and the abandonment, all her dreams died. She went to the city, got a job, lost her job, ended up in prostitution. And she wrote this. I dreamed a dream in time gone by, when hope was high and life worth living. I dreamed that life would never die. I dreamed that God would be forgiving. There was a time when love was blind and the world was a song and the song was exciting. Then it all went wrong. The tigers come at night with the voices soft as thunder as they tear your hope apart, as they turn your dreams to shame. He slept by my side. He filled my days with endless wonder. He took my childhood in his stride, but he was gone when autumn came. And still I dream he'll come at me, that we will live the years together. But there are dreams that cannot be, and there are storms we cannot weather. I had a dream my life would be so different from this hell I'm living. So different now from what it seemed. Now life has killed the dream I dreamed. Now, of course, this is Fontaine from Les Miserables. I dreamed a dream. Don't let life kill your dream. God has caused us to be dreamers. and stuff happens in life, and life isn't fair, and all sorts of things happen that and we are product right now of where we are, of what we've gone through and what decisions we made. But God says, don't let the life you've had stop you embracing the dreams that you have for your future. Don't let the devil steal your dreams. You know, how terrible that she would say, or the lyrics, I had a dream of my life, it would be so different from this hell I'm living. So partly, this the Les Miserables is a story of redemption. And there are a lot of people in Wales that had dreams for their life. They had hopes for their life. And now they're in a hell. So different to what they dreamed. But we have a message of redemption. We have a God of redemption. Don't let the devil steal our dreams. We can change things. He can make a difference in your life, and you can make a difference in other people's lives. Life has killed the dream I dreamed. When you are in the darkness, it feels like life kills the dream you've dreamed. But don't let the devil steal your dream. God made us dreamers for a purpose. God wants us to dream. God wants us to aspire for more. God has blessed us to be fruitful, to multiply, to increase, to fill, and to subdue this earth. That's put in the DNA of man. That's what God blessed us with from the very beginning. Don't let life steal your dream. Turn with me to Genesis 40. Let's have a little look at a dreamer. We know the story of Joseph. Joseph has his multicolored coat. Well-known musical. But the Bible record of Joseph is that he had a dream when he was 17 years old. His brothers despised him for that dream and sold him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites sold him as a slave to Potiphar. Potiphar's wife lusted after him and made false accusations against him. Potiphar raged against him and put him in the king's prison. And for 11 years, he stuck in the prison, or 11 years a slave. And in the darkness, he doesn't really know what God is doing. He doesn't really know why he's there. He hasn't done anything to justify why he's there. And in the darkness, two men come into the prison. The cupbearer and the baker. And they both have a dream. And if we look at verse 12 of chapter 40, it says this. Then Joseph said to him, the cupbearer, this is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to the office. And you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh. And so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit. Verse 23. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Think about that. Here's Joseph. He serves the cupbearer. He tells the cupbearer the interpretation of his dream. Supernaturally, by God's wisdom, he's right. And he says, look, please, do me the kindness. Please mention me to Pharaoh, because I've done nothing that I should be here, and I was stolen away, and they put me in this prison, and I was innocent. And I'm guessing this might be a little bit of a paraphrase of what he said to him. You know, I was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. I didn't touch her. I didn't go anywhere near. And now here I am stewing in this prison. Please, please remember me. Can you imagine what he was thinking? He knew that the baker was executed and the cupbearer was restored. And he's in the prison. And how long do you think it took him to realize what was happening? You know, he thought, maybe after a week I might hear something from Pharaoh. Maybe after a fortnight. Maybe after a month he'll remember me. Maybe he'll come and visit me and speak to me. Maybe he'll be able to, you know, just shout my corner. How long was it before Joseph realized that the cupbearer forgot him? 1 month? 2 months? 6 months? A year? Do you know, sometimes people forget you. People that you've done great service to, people that you've loved, people that you've given to, people that you've helped. And when they're in your presence and when they're receiving the benefit of your love, the benefit of your company, that they're great. But then they move on and they forget you. And sometimes when you need their help, they forget you. When you need their encouragement, they forget you. When you need their support, they forget you. But there is one who will never forget you. God never forgets us. God remembers. God knows. But when we're in the darkness and our last shred of hope, the cupbearer, the last one who can help us, disappears and goes and forgets us, it feels like, where is God? It feels like, what am I doing here? I've done nothing wrong that I should be in this prison. I was sold by my brothers. It's interesting, brothers sold Joseph to Egypt. Brothers and sisters will sell us down. But God won't. What's Joseph going to do? What are you going to do? We must learn to trust God in the darkness. God never changes. And sometimes when you're following Christ, it's just like you're in a party. It's just so fantastic, so wonderful. Everything works. Everything goes well. Everything is just like amazing. And then sometimes it's like, does God even know my name? Where are you, Lord? This happens. That happens. This, that, this. And God says, trust me in the darkness. See, it says this. Joseph wasn't in any old prison. Joseph was in the king's prison. And it was only a matter of time. It's like, I'm not in any old prison. I've got dreams. I've got hopes. But I'm not in any old prison. I'm in the king's prison. And I have a king whose hand guides my life, who holds the days of my life, who determines everything. And providing I walk in integrity and holiness and in his righteousness, guess what? It is only a matter of time when those doors of his prison open out and I can walk into my dream. It's just a matter of time. But when it's dark, I have to trust him. It's just a matter of time. Everything turns around for my good. Everything works for my good. That he hasn't forgotten me. Everything is going to be okay. And you know, it will because of his promises. Because not one of his promises fails to come to pass. But tell Joseph that. Tell Joseph that when he's been abandoned by the cupbearer. You know, it's hard, isn't it, when somebody says to you, and it's like you're in the darkness, and they say, don't worry, Andrew, God's going to see you through, and then they walk off and forget you and don't even pray with you, and they've said they'd pray for you and they didn't do it. Okay, who's been guilty of that? Okay, I'll pray for you. Okay. We've all been guilty of that, haven't we? But God is saying, trust me in the darkness. Don't trust Alex. Don't trust Sharon. Don't trust Jane. Don't trust me. Because he's perfect. It's not that we don't trust people. Of course we do, but we have a higher trust. And I sit in the king's prison, in the darkness, not understanding, not knowing, with hopes and dreams in my heart, with the devil speaking words of failure, words of disappointment, words of condemnation. And I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know this, he turns everything around for good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. I love God, and I'm called. It's just a matter of time. Because I'm not in Her Majesty's prison for crime I did or didn't commit. I'm in His Majesty's prison, the prison of King Jesus. I'm in the prison of the purposes of God. I'm in the prison of the provisions of God. I'm in the prison of the providence of God. Some of the saddest words in the Bible, yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Let me say this to you. In the darkness, God never forgets you. God is saying, trust me in the darkness. Really simple. And I know some of you aren't facing a dark situation now because storms come and go. Stuff happens. But for those of you who are, God is saying to you, trust him in the darkness. Today is the day of Pentecost. Think about the apostles for a moment. They've gone through the trauma of seeing Jesus arrested, flogged, crucified, and buried. And then they had the joy of meeting with the risen Christ. Thomas, put your hand in my side. I mean, I don't know how that feels, you know, putting the hand in the side of a resurrected man. Look at the holes in my hand, or what have you. And they had this joy. And then Jesus said, I have to go away now. Because if I don't go away, the Father can't send the Holy Spirit. And off Jesus went. And there's Acts chapter 1, there is an account of the ascension of Jesus. He goes up into the sky. And the angel says, men, why are you looking at him? This same Jesus is going to come back one day just like that. We're going to see him come back from... Hallelujah. And then it's like, well, let's go back to Jerusalem. And if you notice, they appoint an apostle in place of Judas. But there's just this, what happens now? What happens now, God? Where do we go from here, God? And they've got a commission, and they've got an instruction, and they just wait. And you have to understand, Acts chapter 2 hasn't happened so they can read about it. They're just waiting. And it's about a week. About a week, because it's 50 days after Passover. Jesus was crucified on Passover, buried 3 days, resurrected 40 days. People saw him 43 days. So we're on like day 43, 44, and it's day 50 before anything happens. They have 6 days to wait for Jesus, promised to be fulfilled. So there's 120 people, give or take, in this church. And we're waiting for promise, aren't we? I'm waiting for promise. And some promises I've waited for have been fulfilled. Other promises, I'm still waiting, and I'm still waiting, and I'm still waiting, and I'm still waiting. But do you know what God says? Just trust me. Trust me in the darkness. Trust me in the light. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly, turn to your neighbor, say suddenly. Everything changed like that. everything changed like that. And everything can change for us like that. Suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues of fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. Everything can change in a moment. Some of you are believing for healing in your family. Some of you are believing for stray children. Some of you are believing for a husband or a wife. Some of you want children. Some of you, everything can happen in a moment. God is in your darkness. Turn to Psalm 139. Let me read this from verse 7. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night. Some of you feel like you're covered in darkness, and even the light you have is like night. For God, even the darkness is not dark. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. See, God is in the darkness, and it's not dark to him. God is with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And what you're going through is not dark to him. Because what you're going through, he sees beyond the day that you're in to another day where even the promises that he gave you will come to pass. God's saying, look, just trust me in this darkness. It's not dark to me. It might be to me, it might be to you, but it's not to him. God is in our midst. He has a plan. He knows what he's doing, and everything's going to be okay. And just like Isaiah said, he said, I'll make a way in the wilderness. And we were singing it earlier. He is a way maker. Rivers in the desert. He's just so amazing, this God that we serve. That in a moment of time, everything can change for you. In a moment of time, he brings you through the darkness to a place of light. In a moment of time, he leads you beside still waters. You know, he is our shepherd. He is with us. And he's saying, if you're going through a tough time, now I appreciate not everybody is. I appreciate not everybody is. But God said, I got to speak this today. Because some of you, this is for you. Some of you, this is like fresh from heaven for you. Straight out of the oven. Took 3 days to mold and bake. 3 days of prayer and fasting. And this is for you. Now, for the others, it might not be for you, but freeze it. Put it in the freezer, because you can't eat stale bread, but you can freeze bread, because we go in and out of these situations. God is with us in the darkness. God has never left you. God has never forsaken you. God's promise never changed. He's just saying, come on, girl, come through with me. Come on, boy, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. My rod and my staff, they comfort you. And today is a day of comforting, that God is going to come through the darkness with you. And we have all these questions. Why, Lord? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? This isn't fair. And he doesn't give us the answers. He just says, trust me in the darkness. If we had the answers, we wouldn't be in the darkness. We'd be in the light. But he says, trust me in the darkness. And as I trust him in the darkness, the dawn starts to break, the sun starts to rise, and everything changes. My perspective changes, what happens changes, and I see that everything that happened, he turns for good. And I can say to my wife, and I can say to my children, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. Don't worry, because God is with us. Everything is going to be okay. I know to trust him in the darkness. And I know it's hard. I know it's painful. I know it's dark, but God is saying, trust me in the darkness. He's the way maker. He is the way maker. And he makes a way in the wilderness. And rivers in the desert. And you know, sometimes you go like you're so dry and thirsty in your Christian walk. And it's like, I feel like I'm in a spiritual desert. Where are you, Lord? I can't hear from heaven. I can't see from heaven. I don't feel refreshed. Where are you, Lord? Why is this happening to me? And God says, trust me in the darkness. Because day will break. The sun will rise. And God will do what he says. Should we just stand together? Let's just lift our hands to heaven. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you are trustworthy, that you are faithful, that you are good. And Father, we're trusting you in our darkness. Father, we're standing in the palm of your hand, and we trust you in the darkness. Lord, I ask that you would just speak right into the hearts of your children today. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Not one of the promises that God has given you, he'll fail to do. Everything's going to be okay. The Lord is saying, trust me in the darkness, because everything's going to be okay. And you stand in there saying, well, how do I do that, Lord? How do I trust you in the darkness? Just take one small step of faith. One small step of faith of trust. Grab hold of my promises and trust me. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. He is for you. He is with you. He's behind you and he's ahead of you. Trustworthy, faithful, steadfast. Tim, do you want to just come back up? We're going to just sing one song to close. Let's sing The Goodness of God. All your life, he has been faithful, whether you've seen him or felt him or realized it. But let's just declare his goodness over our darkness. As soon as you're ready, Tim, just lead us. Let's make this our faith declaration.